The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Tom Fornelli. That's Danny Cannell. I'm Chip Patterson. End of the week. Time to open up that big old bag of mail. A reminder, if you want to submit a question for a future mailbag episode, you can leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And in that review, put your question. We'll add it to the big old bag of mail. They've been bringing a smile to my face as I sit down to pull questions. And we're continuing to get questions that are going to have to make it in future episodes. So if you've written one, don't worry. It is not being ignored, or unless it's similar to another one. But we always keep track. We try to make sure that we keep them around so that they can make their way into these mailbag episodes. We got great hypotheticals this week. We've got some a guessing game that Tom Fornelli and Danny Cannell will be put to the task on, some rule change suggestions, and of course, everyone's favorite game, What's a Better Program? So we're going to begin with a hypothetical. This is from, the question comes from the Coast Guard Bears. So, hey, if he's from the Coast Guard and a Bears fan, respect. Hey guys, if a team could have their QB back on their roster in their current NFL form, but the rest of the roster is unchanged, who is crashing the CFB playoff? Is it Michigan with Brady? Is it Texas Tech with Mahomes? Love y'all. Keep up the great work and the best CFB podcast out there. So it's just a quarterback. The rest of the roster remains unchanged. You bring them back in their current NFL form. Who's making the leap? Who's going to see
only
things change?
Only two choices, right? Only two options?
No. I think that his Brady, Michigan with Brady, Mahomes with Texas Tech, I think he was using those as like the examples.
Gotcha.
Like,
templates. Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean,
I would say in that scenario, I would agree with him on Brady. I would not think Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes had enough talent around him or ever would at Texas Tech.
I was going to say, Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs ain't all that different with Patrick Mahomes with Texas Tech.
It wasn't that long ago, right? We just saw this play out. So that one I would definitely. You got one, Tom?
Man, I think, you know, if you put Russell Wilson back on Wisconsin.
Not the pack.
No, he's not getting there with the pack. But if you put him back there on Wisconsin there, I think they'd win the West and then they'd go to Indianapolis. And I think they could give the Buckeyes a run for their money.
So Graham Mertz out, Russell Wilson in. You think that upgrade takes Wisconsin to the next level where it can challenge Ohio State?
Yeah. Do you disagree?
No. I was thinking the Ohio State. I started thinking recency. And I was like, I don't know, bring Justin Fields back to Ohio State. They probably make it to the national championship game again. I started to look at,
here's one. Does Texas A&M make the playoff last year if it has Kyler Murray?
Yes. I would say yes. If Kyler Murray in his current state.
He never transferred. He goes back to Texas A&M.
Goes to Texas A&M. Does he
make the playoff?
Yeah.
Does it have to be in the NFL or could it just be a former player? Because Johnny Manziel could come back too. And
But in his current form, he's video game league. Like he's out there playing football with plays called by viewers. I mean, in his current form makes this very uncomfortable, but I was like, I think Clemson would take Deshaun over DJ. But, you know, in his current form also includes question marks about, you know, being able to play, I suppose.
What about Matthew Stafford?
For Georgia?
Yeah. I think, and now if the argument is who
Kirby
makes
the stardom biggest, for the first half of the
season. That's a great question. I don't know. Has he earned a leadership right yet, or has he learned the playbook yet?
Stetson's been here every day this summer, man. I just can't hand you the starting job.
I would say Matthew Stafford. I would put Georgia in the playoffs and maybe even a national champion if they had Stafford back, because I have a ton of respect for Stafford. And with the coordinator that they have now, like being more aggressive, open things up.
This is kind of a sad one. Does Auburn make it if Cam Newton in his current form?
No.
That's sad.
I know.
I don't know. Well,
it's been 10 years.
Is it more about Cam, or is it more about the players around him?
Both. I just think, like, 5 years ago, I don't think there's a question in anybody's mind that Auburn, right, with that Cam Newton, is reaching the playoff. But Cam Newton the last couple of years has been banged up.
He's 10, yeah, like 10 years ago, we saw Cam Newton throw an Auburn team probably about, like, that national championship Auburn team talent level. Like, I don't have the total talent composite score in front of me. But, you know, you could probably say that, like, Michael Dyer, Tank Bigsby, like, you can find a couple spots and be like, yeah, I don't know defensively who would be the Nick Fairley on this Auburn roster that you would say was a real difference maker. We will see. But I don't think Cam Newton, in his current form, takes Auburn to the college football playoff.
Where's Florida State last year with Jameis?
A little better. You know, like, they're definitely better. But I don't think they're going to the playoff. They're not beating Clemson. There's just the roster, I think, is the issue at Florida State right now. Offensive line, you know, like, that's been an issue no matter who's been quarterback. They would have been better, would have had more production. I forgot an A&M quarterback since we were thinking about, because I was thinking about teams that are there. What about Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, in his current form? Yeah.
Yeah.
And also with Jimbo, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Now, is he playing tight end or receiver? All right.
What if you brought back both? If you could bring back Kyler Murray and Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what if you bring back Ryan Tannehill to throw to Ryan Tannehill?
So which Oklahoma quarterback do you bring back and give Spencer Rattler the boot for? And don't say Caleb Williams, Tom.
Baker?
I mean, probably not Jalen Hurts. You probably go Baker. I mean, Kyler Murray's the other option there, too.
I got a question for you. If Mitch Trubisky went back to Carolina, would he start?
No.
Over Sam Howell? No. I don't know if he would either.
In his current form, no.
Right.
Yeah. Mitch Trubisky in his current form.
Remember the knock against him? Was that he can't be – and I guess looking back on it, it probably was an appropriate one because he couldn't beat out Marquise Williams for 3 years. Remember? And that was like some of the draft nicks were saying, well, if he couldn't, and I thought it was unfair at the time. I'm like, you know, I was like, good for him for not transferring and waiting his time. But then you're like, maybe if he was supposed to be this unbelievably talented player, he would have beat out Marquise Williams.
Yeah. The year before Mitch took over was UNC winning like 11 games, making it to the ACC championship game. They had a bunch of wide receivers that were really nasty. And arm talent, pedigree, everything else says you probably could have had Mitch Trubisky in there, but Marquise Williams did a great job leading that offense.
Last one that I think we can even come up with, Darnold at USC.
Not definitively an upgrade.
I think it's an upgrade. I think it's definitively an upgrade, but is it a...
I think it's definitely an arm strength upgrade. My question would be in that offense, because he played in a different offense when he was there. Right. Just the problem with Darnold at USC was the same kind of thing we're still seeing at times in the NFL. It's like the backbreaking turnover was just...
Jameis Winston, same deal.
Exactly. It was always right around the corner, and it felt like every time USC was going in the right direction, anytime it got momentum, he would throw an interception that just completely took it away, and they'd have to dig their way back out of it. So I think that, yeah, they could probably get to the playoff with Darnold, but I don't know how much further they would get than that.
All right. Here we go.
Here's a fun one, though. I mean, I think we know the answer, but it's kind of fun to think of, like, you know, elite QBs, because, like, Tom Brady's mentioned in the question, can Tom Brady get Michigan to the playoff? Would Aaron Rodgers get Cal to the playoff?
No.
Really? You don't think in the Pac-12, having Aaron Rodgers,
That's a good question. My initial thing would be like, Chip, like, no way. But like, I saw Chad Pennington come to the Dolphins and like turn them around dramatically. Like, and they weren't that talented. Like, Aaron Rodgers might be able to do it in his current form, belief, but I don't know. Like, and in the Pac-12, I think helps.
Is that the headline? Could Aaron Rodgers lead Cal to the playoff in 2021? And then, like, for SEO purposes, like, future Aaron Rodgers destinations, destinations for Aaron Rodgers rumors, all in the headline.
There we go. Yes. Boom.
Yes. There we go. All right, Danny, pick a number, number two or number three?
Three.
Okay. Here is Chip. This is from Cabbage Rolls and Coffee is the username, but he drops his actual name. I believe it's Tony. Yeah, Tony. Chip, or whoever reads this first, please do not share this with the other podcasters until you are ready to air it. Reputation is on the line for you guys in this high-stakes game. We are Husker fans in small-town Nebraska and obviously love our college football, but we are in no way experts. My buddy Sam and I, typically over too many beverages when we magically become experts, will often play the "Where did dudes go to college?" from certain draft classes. We read to one another the first-round draft selections and play the game with the following rules. You get a guess or two for the announced player. It's a gentleman's game, so please use discretion when playing, but we typically time each other out about 7 to 10 seconds. We disallow random guessing in a bunch of schools and randomly somehow getting it right as well. No cheating and looking ahead. That's why we don't want you to share with the other podcasters prior to the mailbag pod. Pick a draft class and guess college is a basic idea. We tally points out of 32. We only play more than 5 years removed for recency bias purposes. My best range is in the early 2010s where I can get about 15 to 20 out of 32. And my buddy often hits close to that in the early 2000s. This is clearly my best recollection anyway, and after a night of chilled beverages, maybe my numbers are off, but I'm fairly certain that my best ever is 25 of 32 in 2015. Enjoy the pod, and thanks for getting me through morning commutes. Please bring back Barton saying, "Yes, sir," at the end of pods. Miss that and Barton a lot, but you guys are absolutely killing it without him. Let me know if you want me to jump on the pod to host the game. GBR, Tony.
Rest in peace, Barton.
Yeah. So because Danny chose three, we're going to start with Tom with the 2012 NFL draft class. No cheating.
Okay.
And so I'm going to read the name. You tell me.
Hands up. So there's no Googling.
Okay. So you tell me.
You need to watch me for that, to be fair.
You tell me where they went to school. All right. And Danny, could you keep score for Tom?
Sure.
Okay. And then we'll have you keep score for each other.
Well, what's the point system again?
It's just out of 32. So it's like, okay. I'll run through the first round and he's got to tell me what school they went to. Ready, Tom?
Wait, so.
Like, I'm going to say Andrew Luck and you're going to tell me.
Stanford.
Yeah. Okay. Ready? Andrew Luck.
Stanford.
Robert Griffin III.
Baylor.
Trent Richardson.
Alabama.
Matt Khalil.
USC.
Justin Blackmon.
Oklahoma State.
Morris Claiborne.
LSU.
Mark Barron.
Alabama.
Ryan Tannehill.
Texas A&M.
Luke Kuechly.
Boston College.
Stephen Gilmore.
South Carolina.
Dontari Poe.
Memphis.
Fletcher Cox.
Mississippi State.
Michael Floyd.
Notre Dame.
Michael Brockers.
LSU.
Ooh, Bruce Irvin.
Oh, West Virginia.
Quentin Copels.
North Carolina.
Drake Kirkpatrick.
Alabama.
Melvin Ingram.
South Carolina.
Shea McClellan.
Boise State.
Kendall Wright.
Baylor.
Chandler Jones.
Oh, shit. Syracuse.
Brandon Whedon.
Oklahoma State.
Riley Reif.
Iowa.
David DeCastro.
Stanford, back when they were big and beefy.
Donta Hightower.
Alabama.
Whitney Merciless.
ILL.
Kevin Zeitler.
Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. Nick Perry.
one of the LA schools.
Wah, wah.
USC?
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'll give it to you. It's USC. Harrison Smith.
Notre Dame.
AJ Jenkins.
ILL.
Doug Martin.
Wow, remember the time when there were two Illinois players taken in the first round?
Doug Martin.
Boise State.
And David Wilson.
For the perfect score.
Virginia Tech.
No way. He did it. That's right. Insane. Virginia Tech is correct. I think he might've been ACC player of the year. It was a pretty good Virginia Tech team. And he was just,
there were a couple sketchy ones there where I was kind of guessing.
What? You sounded like you knew them all. Like, oh, I knew
about 28 of them. There were a couple where I was just kind of,
I think,
like,
I only knew about 20 of those.
Hoping a prayer.
So 32 of 32 for Tom Fornelli. Danny.
Do I have to do this exercise? Because I suck at it.
Then yes. Yes, you do.
What year? Do you want to give me 96 draft class?
Oh, okay. I'll take that. When you did three, I was going to give you 2013, but it's 2013 is brutal. And if you want me to give you something more in your wheelhouse.
No, but this will be funny because I'll have no idea on these either, but then I'll have an excuse to say they were longer, further back.
Okay. So do you want 2013 or do you want 2003?
No, I'll go 96.
96.
Do you have it?
I can get, I mean, 1996.
That's my year. That's my draft class.
Oh.
So I want to try it.
Okay.
First, I think that's what's going to be funny about it because I don't think I'll know.
All right. Ready?
It should be Keyshawn, yeah, right? Yeah, was
yeah.
number one?
Yeah.
All right. Keyshawn, USC.
Kevin Hardy.
See, I'm not very good at this.
Illinois.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Illinois.
All right. Number two pick.
Simeon Rice.
Simeon Rice was ACC, right? No. Syracuse.
Right colors with Syracuse. He played with Kevin Hardy in college. Oh,
are you kidding me? This is ridiculous.
He's Illinois too. Illinois had multiple.
We have four players and first rounders from Illinois, and they suck. So
sleeping
bad.
Giant. It's the sleeping giant, kids. You need to go to Illinois. Gosh. You'll be a first round draft pick.
All right. See, what's funny about this is I actually did like the rookie card shoot with Simeon Rice, and like we hung out and we did like our college uniforms. I had no idea.
I love that Simeon Rice was so good in the NFL that people are like, oh, he couldn't have gone to Illinois.
Jonathan Ogden.
UCLA.
Cedric Jones.
Oklahoma.
Lawrence Phillips.
Nebraska.
Terry Glenn.
Ohio State.
Tim Biakapatuka.
Penn State.
Michigan.
Oh, gosh.
Ricky Dudley.
No clue.
Ohio State. This is like, jeez. Look at the Big Ten love here in the first like nine picks. Couple Illinois.
I want,
if Danny doesn't know, I'm going to say. So Danny, if you don't know, then I'll say.
Okay. Willie Anderson.
No idea.
Auburn.
Alex Molden.
Mississippi State.
Oregon.
Gosh, I suck.
Reagan Upshaw.
That's, go ahead, Tom.
I don't know that one.
Cal. Walt Harris.
He played in the Senior Bowl with me. Was he Mississippi State?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, you got that one.
Bears draft pick.
Eddie Giorgi? Eddie George.
Never heard of him.
Ohio State.
Tennessee State's head coach, Eddie George. John Mobley.
Mobley was my teammate with the Broncos. Was he Michigan?
No, what's Kutztown? The Kutztown Golden Bears.
That's like a D3 school.
Yeah, D2 school in Pennsylvania.
And he went, what, top 15?
Yeah.
Number
15.
Dwayne
must have been destroying people in that league.
Yeah, it's like the conference, the PSAC, the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference is where he came from. Dwayne Clemens.
Clemson?
Tom?
No idea.
Cal. Reggie Brown. He's a linebacker.
No clue.
Texas A&M. Eddie Kinnison.
LSU?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Harvin Marison.
Never heard of him.
Marvin Harrison.
Who?
You know where Marvin Harrison went, right?
Where'd he go?
Syracuse. Daryl Gardner.
Daryl Gardner, great dude. Dolphins, Senior Bowl, teammate. A&M?
Baylor.
Baylor.
Yeah, dang, Southwestern Conference. I knew that too. Yeah, you were there.
I knew that.
Pete Kendall.
No clue. Penn State, tight end?
Boston College, offensive tackle.
Same difference.
Marcus Jones.
That's truer than you think. I know.
Marcus Jones, North Carolina.
That's right. Jeff Hardings.
No clue.
Penn State.
Penn State. Eric Molds.
Mississippi State.
Yep.
Jermaine Mayberry.
No idea.
Texas A&M Kingsville. It looks like another D2 pick here in the first round.
That's a program that sent a lot of dudes to the NFL.
Texas A&M Kingsville.
Yeah.
Number 26, Ray Lewis.
UM.
John Michaels.
No idea.
USC?
USC.
Yeah, okay.
Jerome Woods.
No clue.
I remember the NFL player. I don't remember where he went to school.
Memphis. They were independent at the time. Jermaine Stevens.
No clue.
North Carolina A&T. Let's go. Andre Johnson, the tackle.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I was going to say, I don't remember Andre Johnson going that late in the first round. I don't know, Danny.
I don't know either.
Tackle Penn State. Alex Van Dyke.
Pitt?
Nevada, wide receiver from Nevada. And then finally...
Alex Van Pelt was the Pitt quarterback.
And then finally, Leland McElroy.
Texas?
Running back, Texas A&M.
So close.
Gosh. I suck. What did I get? 10? Did I get a third?
I think the counter's broke. Sorry.
Yes, I think so too.
Tom blitzed through it, and then we landed in 1996. Who do you remember the picks that were like right around you?
Me? No, I remember the quarterbacks that were taken ahead of me, but I don't remember the picks. Tony Banks was the first quarterback that was taken out of Michigan State. Jeff Lewis out of Northern Arizona was taken by the Broncos. Bobby Hoying was taken by the Eagles. And then I was taken
by the Giants. New York football Giants.
Chip, are you going to go through this? By the way, I think this guy's got a great idea. Like, I think you could do this like heads up. You can make an app and do like the names and have to match them.
Yeah,
this could be a moneymaker.
Let's make it a weekly segment because I think I could win.
No, I don't want to. I'll lose credibility each time we do this.
All right, let's. Here we go. This next one is from T-Stars. First, the platitudes. Bud, I've been a fan from the first time I heard you on Podcast and Play Nobody. Glad you joined. Chip, you bring big, positive energy every episode, and it's much appreciated. Danny, while I really enjoy your analysis, input, and FSU stories, your fangs are receding as you age. Barton, RIP, and Fernelli, keep bringing the heat. Where I need advice. My birthday falls on a Saturday this year, and my wife is gifting me a trip to travel to any game of my choosing for that Saturday. My game day experience starts and stops at Beaver Stadium. I live in Vermont, where CFB, with the exception of the undefeated Middlebury Panthers, is non-existent. I want excitement and a good contest. Here are the games I'm considering. I'd like to hear which games locations the crew would pick for a first-time attendee. Here are the options. Northwestern at Nebraska. And he said classic Big Ten field position battle. Texas at TCU. Ole Miss at Alabama. Florida at Kentucky. Michigan at Wisconsin. Texas Tech at West Virginia. Auburn at LSU. I expect this as a default answer because Death Valley. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work.
Whew. I think
Auburn LSU is the easy one.
I think there's three choices. I think it's Auburn LSU, Ole Miss Alabama, or Michigan Wisconsin.
I was kind of thinking Michigan Wisconsin.
I see. I think that could be fun. But what day? When is this?
I was going to grab that next so I could figure out what.
And the Bama game is in Oxford or is it in Tuscaloosa?
It is in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. See, if it was in Oxford, that would be my.
Yeah, me too.
Go to. So,
that one just dropped a notch for me. Yeah. And the game, the Wisconsin game's in Madison?
Yep.
Yep. But it's the Michigan game. Yeah, that's early October. That won't be too bad.
That's perfect. Falls, yeah. Leaves changing.
See, my thought here is I think best atmosphere is far and away going to be the Auburn LSU game at Tiger Stadium. That would be a great time. It's just, I don't know if the game's going to be that great. I think that Alabama Ole Miss would be a lot better if it was in Oxford, but I think that that game could be huge. Like, I don't think any of us have Ole Miss winning the SEC or anything. It's just, as we've talked about, Ole Miss is one of those teams that really gives Alabama problems, and it could be one of Alabama's biggest tests. And it's like, if Alabama's going to lose a game, that might be the game it loses. So you might be able to say you were at that game. Michigan, Wisconsin is kind of the similar situation to LSU Auburn, where it's going to be an awesome atmosphere, and it could be important, but it could also just be Wisconsin beating up on a Michigan team that finishes 8-4.
Wow. I think that's a huge game.
That's the risk that you run.
Yeah.
I do think the Auburn LSU is probably the most competitive game, no matter what.
Yeah.
Then I would go Wisconsin, the Michigan, Wisconsin. And then I do think, like, as much as we're all good on Ole Miss, like, there's also a chance that
there's a huge blowout factor.
Yeah. Like, that could. And, like, you're telling me that Saban isn't bothered by everyone last year who said, look at all the numbers that Ole Miss put up against Alabama. Like, some of that's going to get addressed.
I don't think so. Like, I think that the reason that that's compelling is because, like, Ole Miss said, you know, we're going to score 40. And Alabama said, well, that's fine because we're locked and loaded to score 60. And is the new Alabama offense, if put to the test, if they're in a 14-0 hole, are they going to run through Ole Miss? Yeah, they are, actually. That they probably are. Like, I just imagined Ole Miss's defense even against a reloaded Alabama offense, and I think Alabama probably wins that game. I throw out Northwestern Nebraska. I throw out Texas at TCU. I throw out Florida at Kentucky, though much love to the big checkout line at Kroger Field. Texas Tech at West Virginia. West Virginia is a really good environment, though. Texas Tech at West Virginia is like, you're going bottom half Big 12 standings. And then Auburn at LSU, absolutely a fantastic option. That's a very good birthday present, no matter what.
I do think,
and I want to update, right? Like, we need to find out what goes down.
T-Stars, let us know.
Texas TCU is low-key a good time that I don't think.
But would you do it in Fort Worth, or would you rather have it in Austin?
Because I'd rather have it in Austin.
I'd rather have that game in Austin. That was going to be my that was going to be like my pivot, because I think TCU Texas is a great game. Like, I think competitively it would be a really, really fun game to go to, but I'd rather be in Austin for that one.
You could also do Illinois and Charlotte in Champaign. Or if you really miss Barton, the Vanderbilt Commodores will be hosting the UConn Huskies that Saturday at Vanderbilt Stadium.
Guaranteed win.
Nashville, let's go. Which is, I think.
I mean, recruiting weekend, let's go. Like, this is where we want to get everybody in. Parents weekend, homecoming, let's do it all against UConn.
And if the CMAs were there, then, like, it's jackpot.
Yes.
Buy some Cover 3 gear from the store. Wear it to the game and be loud as hell with signs about Barton.
Okay. So good. T-Stars, follow up and let us know what you chose. And then maybe we'll link up with you prior to that October 2nd date. And happy birthday on October 2nd. That is a fantastic gift to be able to choose anywhere from Vermont to go land and go to college football. Look forward to hearing about that.
Also, my birthday is October 3rd, so...
So what it's are you getting, birthday. Tom?
Yeah, where am I going? Where are you sending me?
I'm sending you to Champaign to go see Charlotte in Illinois.
Charlotte doesn't know what's coming.
coming up on the other side, we spend a lot of time, thinking about who might be the next USC head coach. And we've got some names that we always throw there, but what if that happens and who would replace that head coach? We'll answer that and more of your questions next.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. This next one comes from Wessie. Wessie says, best CFB pod, not close, informative, energetic, and entertaining. Penn State fan by marriage. Still paying for her degree, so I've earned the right to root for them over James Madison. Shout out to student loans. So you guys talk somewhat regularly about how James Franklin remains the best fit to replace Clay Helton at USC. If that were to happen in the next few years, who would y'all identify as the top/most realistic targets to replace him? Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell are probably the most obvious answers, but could you foresee Penn State having difficulty attracting either guy? And are there other names that you would not be surprised to see connected to the job? And who should we as Penn State fans hope for?
Well, I think the questioner nailed the top two targets.
Fickell and Campbell?
Yeah, Fickell and Campbell are the first two places I'd go. Number three on my list, and again, this isn't a guarantee of somebody that you'd be able to lure away, but the third person on my list would be Mark Stoops.
Great hire, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that makes a ton of sense. He's from Ohio, so he's obviously at Kentucky. You know, they've recruited in the state of Ohio very well. He's got Big Ten connections. He's got history in the conference. And maybe, you know, you could be like, you know, you've done a great job at Kentucky, but you've kind of reached what your ceiling is there. If you come here, you can compete with Ohio State. You could compete for playoff bursts, especially in an expanding field era. So I think that would be where I go. Because I think that honestly, I think Fickell and Campbell are one and two, but I think Stoops would be a tremendous fit for Penn State.
What do you think of going to the Tuscaloosa coaches rehab clinic in
Bill O'Brien?
I mean, I know it's a laughable thought now at the way things unfolded with the Texans, but he's already been there. There's familiarity. He helped the program through an incredibly tough transition. Like because Sark was somebody that was kind of left for dead too, you know, and he's able to kind of rehab his image and parlay it into another job. I don't know if Bill O'Brien goes back to the NFL, but if he wanted another head job, I would see it being attractive for him. And I could see Penn State getting in that mix.
Are there still kind of some raw feelings there though?
Maybe.
Because I think that some people kind of felt abandoned.
He left too soon?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that would be, if he has a good season, I don't think it'd be terrible because he's obviously been there. He knows the lay of the land, but I don't think mm-hmm. that would be at the top.
So when we take a step, I would say that maybe a little bit step down and you start to think about like what would be some more like realistic potentials just because of the potential Penn State connection. If Joe Moorhead is tearing it up as Oregon's offensive coordinator, and you obviously love what he was able to do at Penn State, that could be an option for him to come back. I think that you obviously have a head coach at Old Dominion who's another former offensive coordinator, and Ricky Ronnie. If this is a few years down the line and he's got ODU playing at a really high level, and then depending on how things go at Maryland, like would Loxley with all of his DC connections, would he leave Maryland? Like, would he be lured away to go to Penn State? Because if you are Penn State, hiring Mike Loxley is opening up, like you're already trying to recruit that DC area. But then to have him on your side, I think would be a huge boost in recruiting. So I was thinking Mike Locksley.
Such a tough sell.
To the
fan base.
We hired Maryland's coach, the team that finishes behind us in the division every year.
And it's also just, you know, his career record. Cause it's like, I don't think Maryland's going 11-1 this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's true.
Like, I think just from a pure recruiting angle. Yeah. But I don't think the fan base would be all that enthusiastic about it. I would guess, honestly, it's probably a coordinator that we're not really sure of yet.
Maybe Moorhead,
but I'm saying it's not like a name that we know quite, like a household name, not somebody that seems like an obvious choice.
You don't think it'll be because I think Fickell's a long shot because of the Ohio State connection. Yeah, Campbell swears he's happy at Iowa State. What about a Jamie Chadwell? Because it seems like Napier's Southern. You know, if that was the next kind of, if he backs it up and has another incredible year for Coastal, you could see that one maybe making some sense. Again, maybe. Some of this has to, like, if you guys are right and Helton gets fired and Franklin's there in 1 year, we might be having this conversation.
Jamie Chadwell, if he plays this into Penn State, that is the most, that is one of the best breaks that you could have, because like this Coastal Carolina success is recent. Like this is, we have been a nuclear just like explosion onto the scene. If he can do another double digit win season, that would be very, very impressive.
Penn State fans, but let us know who you think it should be if James Franklin leaves.
Leave us a 5-star review and tell us who you would want to replace it. We're already sending James Franklin to USC. Apologies to USC fans.
It's a done deal.
Yeah.
You heard it first.
Okay. This one is, this is another hypothetical, and I know that it's, it's got some layers to it. So we're going to have to really be sharp here to make sure that we understand what they're looking for. This is from Rev, the pod of pods. Not only is the content great, but Tom, conviviality. What's that
conviviality.
Word? Conviviality. He says the conviviality feels genuine and welcoming. Genuine and welcoming are great. I'll take those, but I don't know what that other word means. Listening to this pod feels like hanging out with some...
being friendly.
Cool. Listening to this pod is like hanging out with some old friends who love college football as much as I do. Of course, the host may not know it, but I suspect their voices helped get a lot of folks through a pretty tough year. I know that's true for me. Here's my question. The playoff committee has just announced the field for this coming season, and all the headlines are amazed that none of the four contenders who made it had even won their respective conference in the playoff era prior to this year. Who are the teams?
Never made it or made it the last year?
Haven't won their conference since 2014.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's a good one.
I had UNC or Miami, but
those are good
shock
ones.
Shock of all shocks. Yeah, but if we're going here.
Wisconsin, Texas. God, see, I'm trying to think of who in the SEC it could be. I mean, I guess Texas A&M, but I don't know if that's a shock. You know what I mean?
Well, I think
it would be. It fits the criteria.
Yeah. Of haven't won your conference since 2014.
So for me, it's Wisconsin, Texas A&M, which, oh my God, can you imagine? And then it's either going to be North Carolina and Miami from the ACC or Arizona State from the Pac-12.
Good call.
He said, I left this last part of the question out. He said, who are the teams? And if Arizona State is not one of them, why are you wrong?
That's great. Arizona State has to be one of them because it's the other ones have won conference titles.
Yeah, Washington, Oregon, and USC have all won conference titles in the Pac-12 since 2014. In the Big Ten, you mentioned Wisconsin. Penn State has won a conference title. Mm-hmm. Of course, Ohio State. And no Michigan?
No. I mean, well, yeah, their consideration. It's just... I think even if it's a shock hypothetical, Wisconsin's got the much easier path than Michigan does.
For sure. And then...
Plus, they've got Russell Wilson back, as we've gone from an earlier question. So, duh.
And in the Big 12, is Texas the only option?
No. TCU won it. They had the split.
They had the split in 2014. So TCU and
Baylor out of the question. Oklahoma State's a viable possibility.
I just have so much trouble. Like, you can't lose that much to Oklahoma and have me out here saying, like, you know what? This is the year. I'm not going to do it. Not going to be out here. So UNC, Miami, Wisconsin, Texas, Texas A&M, Michigan, Arizona State. Yeah, that's probably your pool that you're picking from.
What would happen if Texas and Texas A&M met in a title game?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, would we survive as a species?
Yes, we would.
You sure?
Yes.
Would we? Maybe we would just, you know, never mind.
All right, so listen, I'll say this from the perspective of somebody who has stared down when in my like childhood and college, you know, days, I have stared down potential North Carolina Duke NCAA tournament matchups. And the sentiment is always the same. You don't want it because winning is not as much as losing. Like whatever you would get from beating Duke in the Final Four is smaller than the devastation you would feel from losing to Duke in the Final Four. So you almost just wish the game hadn't been played. I wonder if Texas and Texas A&M fans feel the same way, where it's like, I don't want to play them in a title game because there's a chance we'd lose. And if we lose, like if you're Texas and you're like, if Texas A&M beats us for the national championship, we are never, ever, ever going to live this down. And it's like, you don't even want the risk factor there.
And it's not like a rivalry game where you get a chance to avenge it the very next year. Like you could have to sit on that for a long, long time.
Yeah, especially with Texas A&M, like the no national championship since way back in the day, and Texas has been able to hold that over them. Yeah, I hope that we would survive as a species, Tom. It's a football game.
Just saying, like, it's whatever.
Twitter may not survive. It might.
I don't know if we'll want to survive as a species, is what I'm saying.
All right. Here we go. Love the pod. You guys always deliver great content while also being very informative and cheeky. Question for you guys. Had a long conversation about which program is better between Michigan State and Tennessee. I won't tell you which way I was thinking, but let me know your thoughts.
Is this a serious question?
Do you think the answer is easily Tennessee?
I do. Because I want to make sure we don't tick off many Michigan State fans. I just think there are a lot of reasons why it's significantly swayed toward Tennessee. I think you have better history. I think you're in a better portion of the country, closer to talent. I think your conference is slightly better positioned than Michigan State. You have the state to yourself. There's no school that's looming over you that most player in this, again, this is Michigan State fan.
No.
Most players would probably rather go to the other school in your state. I just think there's a lot of significant challenges for Michigan State that Tennessee doesn't have. And Tennessee's been a dumpster fire, but I'm looking at, all right, if you can get both programs back to relatively healthy positions, I still think Tennessee is the better job.
I mostly agree. I don't know. I mean, only school in the state. Vandy's coming. Memphis is there.
That's right. My bad. Dang it.
But
sorry, Bart.
No, I do think that most of your arguments are the correct ones, though, because I think that Michigan State, you're never going to be Michigan. And even after Barton and Clark Lee improve Vanderbilt into SEC East Division contenders, it's still going to be a while before they have the history and the reach of Tennessee within that state, just based on what Tennessee has done. So I think, yeah, Tennessee's probably the better job, which would make it the better program in theory. But I think recently, obviously, Michigan State's had far more success. But I also think that the success that Mark D'Antonio had at Michigan State could kind of skew things a bit to even make this a question to consider, which I don't think that. I mean, I know Michigan State's had plenty of historic success in the past, like it's won national titles, but I mean, Nick Saban couldn't win there.
But I do think if you wanted to try to make a case where Michigan State was better, I think the volatility of the Vols fan base, like you could go 10-2, but if you lost to Florida and Alabama, you could get fired, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's the expectation of we want to be back when we were Philip Fulmer you know, years. And I don't know, like you go, I don't know. But that being said, Mark D'Antonio came under a lot of heat towards the end of his tenure too.
The, was it loyalty to his assistants that ended up being like one of the big gripes down there near the end? And Tom, if I remember correctly, have you said on this podcast that Lansing is a very nice place?
Oh, it's a wonderful campus.
Yeah. I want to get up there because I'm, part of me is thinking about being in Knoxville for bad Tennessee teams and still seeing an awesome game day environment and still seeing the like tens of thousands of fans that are still showing up and going through the rhythm. Like why? Because they live, you know, 2 hours away or an hour and a half away. Because like you mentioned, Danny, it is one program, it is the flagship program for the state. And so everything just like kind of descends on Knoxville for that one day. And the environment is really fun. And it's like a, it's, it is the sign of a healthy program. And then they kicked the ball off and they got thumped, right? Like everything looked like, man, this is a really competitive program. And so to have that loyalty, I mean, it is volatility from the fan base without a doubt, but like to have that loyalty, I think that's a great thing in terms of when we're judging programs. And I have not been to Michigan State to take in the game day atmosphere. I do want to, preferably more like in the late September, early October than like November 14th, rainy and yes. 42 degrees.
October 2nd, hosting Western Kentucky.
Could be an opportunity.
Or if you prefer the week before on September 25th, they're hosting Nebraska.
Okay.
That's, see, now that's like, you're right. If you're going to East Lansing for a game, you want to go in September, late September, early October. You don't want to wait till too late in the season.
And then you're like welcoming it. You're like, oh, it was so hot back in North Carolina and this is just awesome. And it's crisp. The humidity is gone. All right.
Still dicey though. I've been to East Lansing. Still dicey. Even in October, you don't know exactly what you're going to get.
You still might catch 42 and rainy.
Change color a little bit. Yes, it's getting a little prettier.
All right. Last question. This one comes from Nate. Hi guys, love the podcast. Danny's like the Norm McDonald of college football. That's a great, I think that's a good thing. He said Norm McDonald of college football with SEC comments going for that oh response, much like Norm did on Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. Very punk rock. We've seen recent rule changes in football, and I've got one more to try. If a coach or player is about to be ejected, they can either take the ejection as is, or they have to remove one player from the field for the rest of the game. Thoughts? Thanks, guys. Wait. Nate.
What, you get to pick which player you send off?
I think that's the idea. Is like if your star defensive end is about to be ejected, in which case you would get to replace him with a substitute.
How quick is that kid entering the portal?
You can-
exactly. But is there any doubt it's like the kicker or the punter that's getting run to the locker room?
Well, I think you've got to play with 10 players on offense and defense for the rest of the game. That's why I sent in the notes, I was like, the red card, because I heard this question and I was like, oh, you're talking about like playing a man down in order to keep your coach or star player, like whoever was going to be ejected.
I like the rule now. Now that I understand it better, I kind of like it.
You've got to start adjusting your defense to play nothing but like zone coverage. Like everything changes offensively. We start putting a running quarterback to get the numbers right.
It depends on who I'm playing.
Yeah.
Because like if I'm playing a passing team, I'll take out my defensive tackle because I don't really need to worry about him running on me. And then if he tries to run, now I've got them doing what they're not good at. So it's like that kind of situation.
But do you like the rule?
Totally. But that would bring a great element of strategy to it of, all right, if you're going to keep your DN who got laid on the quarterback and got ejected, then what position are you going to take off the defense? Like that, and I think it totally would matter against what team you're playing. Is their quarterback any good? Are they throwing the ball? Are they running the ball? So I kind of like it.
I would rather lose my star player than take a player off the field.
And remain full strength?
Yeah, I'd rather because
it depends on the player. Like if it's a quarterback, obviously you're probably going to take the quarterback, but quarterbacks don't get ejected.
I'd rather have my backup quarterback than get rid of my left tackle.
I know what
I mean?
I know.
It's the number advantage. Like everything that you do when you're scheming to like move the ball on offense is looking for a number advantage. So if I'm getting rid of a number, I'm essentially cutting off one of my limbs. It's the same thing on defense. There's nothing, you can't stop the offense if they have a numbers advantage on you. That's why the mobile quarterback and the RPO has become so, you know, powerful.
Well, this could be a good, I don't know if we could do a whole pod on it, but then the question becomes, which players in college football history were good enough that you would rather play with 10 than lose them? Like, if you were at Pitt, would you want to lose Aaron Donald? No, you'd probably be better off playing with 10. You know, like, there's only a very select few players who you would want, but I think you can make a case for some of them.
So I was thinking about who are the players that make you feel comfortable dropping, because for the offensive side of the ball, it's got to be a mobile quarterback for the plus one advantage. And I think defensively, it's got to be one of those, like, Ed Reed, middle of the field, do it all safety, incredible closing speed. Like, you're like, hey, we're going to drop a man, but it's okay because we've got this guy out there who it already seems like he can cover double the amount of ground. And then that ends up being his job to go out there and play center field, try to keep everything in front of him.
What a great experiment it would be to see, like, if you lost one defender, like, could you imagine if Bama lost a defender and the outrage of the other opponent or anybody, if your offense couldn't score on a defense that had 10 players, like, that coach is fired as soon as he gets there on Monday. Like, he's done. Are you kidding me? You couldn't score against them? Like, that dynamic alone would be fun to watch unfold.
I feel like we do see it, number one, I guess, like, coverage busts, but more specifically when a cornerback, like, gets their ankles broken at the line of scrimmage, or all of a sudden just, like, someone slips and falls. And every single time a defender slips and falls, not every time, but you see a 40-yard touchdown. And so what is it like to play defense a man down? Think about when somebody slips and see how quickly the game gets out of hand.
But that's not prepared for it.
Yeah.
See, like, if you schemed for it, I think that's what gets interesting.
I would not have predicted that Danny was in on the college football red card.
Oh, man.
And Tom. Well,
like, for instance, we used to run a 9-on-7 drill, you know, when I was like an inside drill, and you have a numbers advantage, but not every play was going to run for 30 yards. You know, it was just a strictly running drill, and there would be an advantage, but you wouldn't always win that matchup.
No, but you'd win it enough where it didn't matter.
Yes, that is true.
And Tom repping full Italia gear to celebrate the start of the Euros, not biting on the red card.
No.
What's no. Who's in the group?
In Italy's group?
Yeah.
Turkey. And hold on. I know we play Turkey tomorrow or today.
Ooh.
Turkey.
More importantly, are we betting it?
Turkey, Switzerland, and Wales. So Italy's
cruising.
Yeah.
Cruising. And like, Turkey's probably the second. Turkey's maybe the second best in that group.
They could be. I think Switzerland's pretty good. Switzerland's got a lot of talent. I think Wales is probably the worst team in the group, but they're still not a bad team. They've got some really good players. But
do you have any futures? Okay. What are your Euro futures?
Well, I've got Italy winning Group A because
duh.
Hold on, I can open it up here real quick for you. La, 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 la. I was not prepared for this segment.
Are these, will these be on CBSSports.com? Like, are these official picks or are these Fornelli personal account?
These are Fornelli personal accounts.
Love it. We're getting insider access right here.
Anyways, I've got Italy to win it at 11-1. I know that. I've got Italy to win their group at, like plus 150. Nothing crazy. Team futures. All right. To win, France is the favorite at plus 460. Honestly, probably the best bet. But England at 6-1, don't know.
Yeah.
It's a Michigan situation where the fan base is just so huge that the sports books have to cover their ass just in case. I love, my favorite long shot right now is Portugal at 8-1.
CR7, baby.
Yeah, that's a really, really good team. And they're in, quote unquote, the group of death with France and Germany. But all three of them can get through based on the rules. And also, I think most people don't realize that while Germany is still Germany, it's not like the great Germany from not too long ago. Like it's kind of a transition time for them. They're getting old in a lot of key places. So I don't think they're that strong. So yeah, I would go France, Italy, Portugal, and then for another long shot, not to win it, but to reach the semifinals at plus 350 most places, take Denmark.
Denmark. A little dark horse. All right. Let's Danny and I are out here like, got it. Got it. And you, Cover Three listeners, I hope that y'all have it too. A little bonus Euro picks here to get your podcast rolling on a Friday. That action starts soon, so be sure to go and go ahead and get those picks in. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli. You can follow him at Danny Cannell. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Forza Zuri.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.